Chris Gibson, the last time we were speaking, you were talking about the economy and jobs, and you did a presentation on the need to support agriculture through grants and helping young people and veterans get on farms. And that led me to a thought. I know it from just running these public radio stations, and that is upstate New York and New York City are really different places. And if, you know, they got 8 million people in New York City, and many of them are hedge funders and wealthy and this and that. So really, when you come up to running, I don't mean to be mean about this, a station like WNYC in New York, you got a lot of available pockets. Whereas when you're running something up here, nobody's going to give you $1 million. Not that I know who gets $1 million, but nobody's going to give you huge grants. So there really is this basic difference between the way things are upstate and the way things are in New York. I wonder if you could talk about that for a minute.
Well, of course, it is a challenge, but I think it's definitely surmountable. And when you think about the New York State economy as a whole, that's why I think that you see leadership that's trying to be sensitive to the fact that we need to balance. We need the many things that I mentioned last time to go well in terms of the farms and our agricultural sector and our tourism, which is, you know, is such a wonderful asset to us here. Our small and medium-sized manufacturing. Of course, our hospitals and schools employ so many folks. And then that big idea that I didn't get a chance to get to last time, which is the advanced manufacturing, the high-tech manufacturing, in particular for our area, the nanotech. But how does it relate to New York City? Well, when you look at the revenues that come in from New York State, it's important that all of that continue to go well for our area in upstate New York. But we also recognize, even sometimes begrudgingly, the symbiosis between the financial sector in New York and the viability of our programs here throughout New York State. So I think that this administration, the Cuomo administration, certainly gets that, and they're trying to balance those needs. You want to make sure there's justice in the financial sector, but you also want to make sure that it flourishes, because we get a significant amount of the revenues for New York State from New York City that help drive the safety net and the other flourishing programs that we have in New York. So, you know, my role in this is making sure that upstate New York gets a voice and a strong voice in the United States Congress, and that I work well with my colleagues in both parties, not only in the House and of course with our senators, but also here in the legislature in Albany and with the Cuomo administration. I think that, you know, when we say that New York State is open for business, I think there's every reason to be optimistic that we're moving it forward. And I would point to the president's visit to illustrate that point. He could have gone anywhere. He could have gone to any of the 50 states. He could have gone anywhere within New York State. He came to upstate New York. And I think it's really a testament to the workforce that we have here, all the investments that have been made over a couple decades, you know, all the investments in terms of the College of Nanoscale, RPI, and that's only now beginning to come to fruition. We're at the very beginning of this. You see the semiconductor industry now, the most advanced manufacturing in the world, going to be happening right here in the Capital District area. The possibility, given the prototyping that we're doing at the old Vico site at Half Moon, that we could potentially drive the total cost for photovoltaics down to 9 cents per kilowatt hour using some of the same approaches, those nanotechnology approaches, and indeed some of the same engineers that did the semiconductor advancements happening in clean and renewable, and the possibility for defense applications, all of this in this area. So when I talk about basic blocking and tackling, I'm talking about ensuring our family farms flourish, that we get the most out of tourism, that we ensure the viability of our small and medium-sized manufacturing, the vitality of our schools and hospitals, making sure our building trades, our contractors are back to work, and that's that transportation bill we need to get done this summer. And then the big idea of advanced manufacturing, what's being done in nanotechnology, and the possibilities attendant therein.
So how's your campaign for Congress? You're a rookie this year. You've got a lot behind you. How's it going?
It's going very well. You know, first of all, we retained six of the counties that I'm representing right now.
In the redistricting
process. The redistricting from the 20th to the 19th. We're enjoying very strong support there from Republicans, independents, and a good number of Democrats. And working hard now at getting known and listening to the new constituents that are going to be in the 19th. And wonderful events. Had a chance to go to the Women's Health Expo in Ulster County this past weekend, and a tremendous goal there of, you know, helping in terms of fitness there and how that could not only help a flourishing form of life, but also help drive down healthcare costs. Then went to Monticello, and they had a concert down there, Thunder Bash 102. A great free concert for the people in Sullivan County to come together and listen to some wonderful music. Have done 5K runs in Schoharie County, went to the Maple Fest, went to some pancake breakfasts in Montgomery.
Are you the fastest runner in Congress?
No, I'm not.
Do they have races for Congress people?
You know, I just did one last week. We did a great event. And I did not in any way finish first. I think Senator Thune actually finished first. But it was, you know, it was really a fun opportunity for the staff to come out to.
Root?
Oh, well, no, they actually ran too.
Oh, they ran too.
No, this was actually both members and staff. When you said Root, of course, I'm thinking of Root Montgomery County. And I'm thinking, oh, because actually it's one of the events that I mentioned to you was actually a pancake breakfast in Ames, which is in the town of Canajoharie right next door. To Root. So, you know, campaign is going well, and I'm really enjoying it. It reminds me, this redistricting reminds me of my experience in the Army, that, you know, you come together, you become very close, a unit that you're in, you train, you deploy, you conduct a mission, the families are very close while you're forward deployed, and then you come back, and there's this euphoric reintegration period. And after 90 days or so, the unit moves on to another post. So you're at once, you're very sad to leave the friends that you've made. But at the same time, you're very excited about the new challenges and the new relationships that await at the new post. So that certainly conjures up those experiences for me with the redistricting. And of course, I hope that what we're working on helps all of upstate New York, including the part of the district that I will no longer represent. And certainly those friendships will last for a lifetime.
Well, you got 2 minutes, but I did want to ask you what you make of the presidential election.
Well, I think it's going to be very close. I really do.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's going to really come down to about a half dozen or so states. Many of the states are pretty much already decided. And I think that how the candidates comport in the next few months could very well be, I believe, will be influential to the overall decision.
One of the things that I've watched about you is that you're careful not to become offensively partisan. You're always sort of reaching out to the Democrats as well as to your Republican colleagues. I think that's pretty smart. Do you do it because it's a good political ploy or because you believe it?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a believer in our way of life, in the Constitution and the separation of powers. And there's so much that's wonderful about that and that survives to this day. But, you know, when you have a system of separation of powers and checks and balances, the founders set it up so that the only way you get change is if you get consensus. In an era of divided government, and if you believe, as I do, that the status quo is unacceptable, then you, by definition, you work together. Because we can move this country. This is a great country. We're a country that can do hard things. But we're going to have to work together to move the economy forward, to get back eventually to a balanced budget, and to protect our exceptional way of life. So on all these initiatives, whether it's the storm relief working with Peter Welch, or if it's broadband, a Democrat from Vermont, or broadband working with Bill Owens, if it's nanotechnology working with Senator Gillibrand from New York, farming that I work with Bill Owens and Senator Gillibrand, and really, quite frankly, farming is more a regional issue than it is a partisan issue anyways. So it's a firm belief that we have not reached our potential. We absolutely can move forward, but to do so, we have to work together.
Chris Gibson, I can't thank you enough for coming in and spending this time with us. It's always fun to talk to you and to learn. So thank you again.
Thank you, Alan.